Jesus showed men what it takes to lead and succeed in life. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. Join us on our epic journey of faith as we follow Jesus, the blueprint for men. Machine gun bullets slammed against the sides of the Jeep and shattered glass pelted Rhodes' body. He jerked up from the canvas bags filled with supplies for a remote village in the Central African Republic bush. Root, a volunteer for a humanitarian organization, had been trying to catch a few moments of sleep as his Jeep bounced violently over the rough trail that passed for a road in this part of the world. The village had been attacked by rebels and desperately needed medical supplies and food. Root and a few others had volunteered to drive through the night to deliver the goods. They were sure the rebels had moved on, or at least they'd be sleeping. But tonight, they were wrong. Root's Jeep had driven right into a deadly ambush. Root frantically pawed at the door latch, trying to fling it open as another round of machine gun fire lit up the night and peppered the Jeep. Root pulled at the lock, pushed open the door, and threw himself out into the darkness. He hit the ground hard and rolled away from the still-moving Jeep. The damaged horn blared into the night as the Jeep slowly came to a stop a dozen yards away. Root heard voices and more gunfire. His body was flat on the ground. He pulled himself into the tall grass. Rocks and thorns sliced his forearms and ripped through his clothes, but Root didn't stop. He had to get further into the bush, farther away from the Jeep, the gunfire, and the rebels. Other vehicles rumbled towards the Jeep as more rebels descended onto the road. Beams of light swept over Root's head. Root knew that he couldn't stay this close. And after another headlight passed over, he took a chance, jumped up, and ran into the darkness. Minutes later, Root ran into a forest. He slowed down as the branches blocked the little light from the stars, and he began to feel his way deeper into the dense undergrowth. He could hide here, hopefully survive the night. Root found a tree and he pulled himself up and wedged himself in between two large branches. Root was all alone, breathless and bleeding, but he was still alive. When Root told me this story in Ethiopia, I could barely believe him. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that only happens in movies, I thought. But for Root, it was real. And then he smiled and told me about his miracle Bible. You see, Root had lost everything he owned that night in the ambush. All of his clothes, his money, his belongings. But the thing he missed the most was his Bible. Root is from southern Ethiopia. His Bible was special to him because it was in his very own language. And now it was gone. And there was no way Root could get another. Root loved his Bible and knew that it was key for him to being close to Jesus. So he prayed a bold prayer. "Jesus, if you want me to have a relationship with you, then please bring me a Bible I can read." A week later, a traveling literature evangelist came to the town where Root was staying. He set out a table full of Bibles, and soon most people in the village had surrounded the table. Root joined the people and looked over their shoulders. Suddenly, he saw something that made his heart skip a beat. There was a Bible in his own language. It was different from all the other Bibles printed in the local dialect. Without thinking, Root pushed towards the front of the crowd and reverently picked up the Bible.
"Hey, you'll have to pay for that," the salesman barked.
"I have no money," Root said. "But can I at least read one verse?" The literature evangelist raised his eyebrows and slowly nodded. Root opened the Bible and leafed to his favorite passage. The words he read refreshed his soul like a cool cup of water after days of not drinking. Root smiled and closed his eyes, thanking God for that special promise he had just read in his own language. Then Root placed the Bible reverently back on the table and turned to leave. "Wait," the salesman said. "You can read that?"
"Yes," Root replied.
"It's in my language."
The salesman snorted. "I haven't been able to sell that Bible anywhere. No one in 1,000 miles can read it."
Then the man paused and said, "Listen, just take it. It's yours. Free of charge. I think God wanted me to bring it to you." Root's face broke into a wide smile and his heart danced. He couldn't believe it. God had answered his impossible prayer. He had brought him a Bible in his own language out in the middle of the African bush. "God really does want a relationship with me," Root thought. Root is now the pastor of 2 churches in Ethiopia,
and he wants to go to university to earn his theology degree and become ordained. He can read the Bible in several languages now, but there's a special Bible on his bookcase at home, his Miracle Bible, a real live answer to prayer wrapped in leather. Man, we're so lucky to live in America. I mean, guys, we are safe and we have tons of Bibles in our bookstores, at Walmart, for free on our phones, but sometimes I think guys like Root are the lucky ones. He knows how special his Bible is. He values it, treasures it. He spends time reading it. What's your time alone with God like? If you're like most people, it's rushed, or it's part of a daily checklist, or it takes back seat to the wife, the kids, the chores, the phone. As Christians, we know how important our time with God is, but sometimes it's hard to live that way. That's why understanding and implementing the third principle of discipleship is so important. Our spiritual survival depends on our commitment to spend unrushed time with God in prayer and reading His Word. It's like breathing. We have got to breathe to live. In John 15, Jesus says, "I'm the true vine. Stay connected to me, because you can't bear fruit if you cut yourself off from me." Now let's do a quick review of the principles of discipleship we've learned so far. The first one says, come to Jesus just as you are. Now, how hard is that? It's as simple as turning around. You can come to Jesus anytime, any place, in any circumstance. It's a heart thing. Many times, the only thing that keeps us from coming to Jesus is the simple fact that we'd rather do something else. And friends, that's the perfect time to come to Jesus. Say a prayer and just tell Him how much you don't want to come to Him, and then ask for a new heart and new desires. Now, the second principle is to surrender your life to Jesus as your Lord. Give Him all that you have, all that you are. Give Him your entire attitude. This principle is actually easy too, because Jesus only gives you one thing to surrender. Remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The trouble and struggle comes when we don't want to surrender. We make it way harder than it needs to be. Both of these first two principles of discipleship are simple choices. And the third principle is also easy. Spend unrushed time with God in prayer and reading your Bible. Now, Grant, wait a minute. You say, hold your horses. You've got no idea how busy my life is. You don't know my struggles. I'm not a morning person. I hate reading books. My mind wanders. I have ADD. Listen, you can give me excuses all day long, but it doesn't change the fact that the God of the universe, the very being who gave up everything for your salvation, can't wait to spend time with you. God told Joshua that the secret to living a life of strength and courage was to meditate on the book of the law day and night. And then God throws in two more promises on top of that, saying you will be prosperous and successful in everything you do. Now, when God commands us to do something, He always has a great reason. It's always for our highest good. Psalms 46:10 tells us to be still and know that He is God. When we take unrushed time in God's presence, when we're still, we begin to hear Him speak. Some of us hear God speak in our heads as like this still, small voice. Others have verses almost jump off the pages of the Bible with new meaning and insight for their specific situations. But when we rush through worship, checking off our to-do list, we miss out. Now, we may have read three chapters and prayed for 10 minutes, but being in a rush stole the intimacy of the moment. Last Valentine's Day, Mark took his wife out for special dinner. He'd planned ahead and gotten reservations to that nice restaurant downtown. You know, the one that has the best pasta in the whole city. His wife loved their food, and she had a particular weakness for their devilish chocolate cake. She'd been looking forward to this evening ever since Mark told her about making the reservations. That night, she took a long bath, put on a stunning dress, fixed her hair and makeup, and looked great. Mark was running late from work. He burst through the front door, threw on a tie, grabbed his wife, and jumped into the minivan. On the drive to the restaurant, he muttered about the traffic and worried that they would miss their reservation time. His wife tried several times to start a conversation, but Mark wasn't really paying attention. He would nod and hum at the appropriate times, but then he'd make snarky comments about the car in front of him right in the middle of when his wife was sharing about her day. Well, they barely made it to the restaurant in time, but Mark was so uptight from the ride downtown that he couldn't relax. He kept looking at his watch and complaining about the slow service. His wife sighed and realized that tonight was gonna be like most other nights. The food would be better, but the conversation would be just as shallow as normal. Mark gulped down the food, barely tasting the fresh herbs and spices. And when it came time for dessert, Mark said they would split a piece of chocolate cake, but then he told the waitress he wanted it to go. "We'll eat in the van," he said, "because if we leave now, we won't have to pay the babysitter for the extra hour." Guys, you don't need to be a marriage expert to know how the rest of the evening went. When they got home, do you think Mark's wife was happy? Do you think she felt loved, desired, or cherished? Not one bit. Mark was foolish because he didn't realize that rushing hurts relationships. You can't rush an intimate conversation, a romantic dinner, or a Valentine's date and keep the magic alive. It's the same way with God. Many of us don't spend time with Him because we're just too busy, or when we do spend time with God, we're just rushed. So stop and ask yourself right now, how happy are you with your connection with God? Is it vibrant? Do you experience God on a deep level? Does He talk to you, encourage you, give you direction and insights in your life? Or is He distant, silent, and reserved? If that's the case, then I hate to tell you, but it's your fault. God is always speaking, but we rarely stop and listen. God is always encouraging, blessing, guiding, and teaching, but many of us are just too rushed to catch whatever God's putting in our path. So stop. Make a decision right now and then tell someone, say, "I'm going to spend unrushed time with God starting today." And then do it. Will it be messy and confusing and frustrating? Of course. But so is marriage and your job and your kids and life, and you're not going to quit on any of them, so don't quit on God just because it's hard at first. Keep coming back. And like every other relationship you've ever been in, you'll see that the more time you invest in it, the richer it grows. I have no idea where God will lead you because God is just too big to put in a box. But I do know that He's trustworthy and that it will be exciting. Listen, guys, whatever you're thinking, whether it's doubts or questions or fears, just take them to Jesus. He cares more about your heart than what you're actually doing. There's no magic formula to connect to Jesus. It's all about your heart. And remember, He promised to send the Holy Spirit to counsel you, to comfort you, and to guide you. This is one of those knock and the door will be open guaranteed promises. Honestly, guys, most Christians don't ever make this third principle a part of their everyday life. And that's why our churches are so stagnant. That's why we argue about carpet colors and criticize the pastor's sermons. That's why our kids are leaving the church. Because without Christ, Christian culture stinks. Jesus is coming back very soon. In Revelation, it describes Jesus' friends. It says, they know His voice and they follow Him wherever He goes. Spending unrushed time with Jesus in prayer and reading His word is a great way to hear His voice and know where and how to follow Him. It will take commitment and sacrifice on your part, but the rewards are so worth it. Jesus wants a relationship with you, and He's already invested everything He has to be with you. All we need to do is stop, be still, and give Jesus our unrushed time. God bless. God's blueprint for building epic men is Jesus. When men go all in for God, they change the world. That's why Blueprint for Men is dedicated to empowering men to base their lives on the example of Jesus. One practical way to do that is through the Morning Summit. A number one new release on Amazon, this 13-week small group challenge equips men with the team, plan, and tools they need to create solid morning habits that will transform their lives. Search Morning Summit Blueprint on Amazon today. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and He's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.